Most of you, well, how many of you believe that Jesus was real? Everybody, I hope. How many of you believe that Satan and demons are real? Okay. Two opposites in science. We study what we call matter and antimatter. And those two never should meet. Because if matter and antimatter meet, it cancels. Gone. And I like to think of Jesus Christ and the devil and his demons as matter and antimatter. Because wherever Jesus met up with a demon or met up with the devil, he was done away with. Demon forces have always been at work in this world. Go back to Genesis. Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil himself. And that's how sin entered into the world. And in the spiritual realm, they had complete control. Nobody with authority could do anything with them until Jesus Christ came. And we find that written in our gospel lesson this morning, because it said that as he came to the synagogue, and the synagogue was like a church, like we come to church on Sunday, Christ went to the synagogue. And they said he taught with authority. Now, it would be something to have Jesus Christ as your Sunday school teacher or your Bible study teacher, wouldn't it? Would you recognize that he had that authority? The Jews recognized. He taught differently. He didn't teach like the other teachers that taught the law, that taught from the Torah. He taught as if he knew what he was talking about. He taught as if he had been there. He taught as if he had written the scriptures, which we know he had. He was the author. I know when I was in college, I had a lot of professors, but it seemed like those that were the best ones were those that didn't have the notes, that didn't have the lecture materials, but they just talked from what they knew. I had a genetics professor one time, and he just made the time pass just like that. We'd go in there and sit down, and he would go through, and he would do all sorts of things, talk about all types of deformities and point to people and talk about their genetic, not defects, but why they looked the way they did. And before you knew it, time was up. He just captured your attention. And so did Jesus Christ when he spoke. But he also captured somebody else's attention in this story this morning. There was a man in there that had an unclean spirit. And they recognized Jesus. They knew who he was. Now, before this scripture today, Jesus was baptized in the Gospel of Mark. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And he was led into the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days. That's a long time to be tempted. But he defeated the devil in that wilderness. Now there was evil spirits, devil, and probably his demons were there with him. But they couldn't beat Jesus. He quoted the scripture. Matter of fact, that's how he defeated them, by quoting the scripture. But at the same time, there were good spirits out there giving him food and sustaining him. And this happened before today's story happened. So the question is, how did those demons know that Jesus Christ was the one that had the authority to do away with them? Well, if it was modern day today, they probably had hooked to the Verizon network. Is it the 4G? They knew it before somebody else did. They knew it before his own people knew, the disciples knew it. The demons knew who he was. They knew he had the power to destroy them. And that's kind of what got them thinking there, you know, said, "Let us alone. What have we have to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked them in a way, saying, he didn't say what he said, but he said, don't be saying that out loud right now, because my time has not yet come and I don't need that. But he said, hold thy peace and come out of him. In other words, he said, I'm going to let you go this time. But you know, I got you. I'll get you. And they came out. But they made one last cry. I thought it was interesting. I like to overlook that verse. It says they cried with a loud voice when they came out of him. They gave one last cry out. And they were gone. You know, a lot of people laugh about demons and laugh about the reality of the devil and demons. But they're just as real as Jesus Christ is. And Jesus Christ conquered sin. He conquered Satan on every time he encountered in the wilderness. Every time he came up with the evil spirits, he conquered them. He conquered them in his death and his burial and his resurrection. He conquered the death. And I had something that come to me as I was reading the other day that, and I didn't realize this, I don't know exactly where it was I read this, and maybe it was in preparation for my Sunday school lesson, but Jesus had a crown of thorns on his head. And they showed that the other night at that program we went to. And they showed how they pressed that crown of thorns down on his head and how it bled and everything. And I could just feel the pain. But if you noticed any of the pictures of his resurrection, he had a crown of laurel. A nice, pretty laurel crown. See how Jesus changed the ugliness of sin and the ugliness of the pain and the evil to something beautiful like laurel? Even his countenance on his resurrection was different than it was that day in which he was crucified. When he died on the cross, he didn't die for himself. He didn't conquer the devil for himself. He conquered the devil for us, for you and me, and for our benefit. He was our substitute. And being our substitute, it is marked up in heaven to our credit. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that through Jesus' death and his resurrection and his power, he has now given us, or we have the power, to overcome the evil spirits in the world. And we found that out in the second text that I read this morning in 1 John. Because there is evil spirits in the world. It said you test them. Test them and see if they're good or bad. What was the test that he said? He said, one, if they confess that Jesus Christ is real, then that's a good spirit. But if they do not confess, then it's a bad spirit. You know, we don't have to battle all the evil spirits. We've already overcome. He said in the scripture that we have already overcome. We're not overcoming, but we've already overcome. Christ has dethroned the evil powers. See, and that's a question, you know, why is it that there's still evil demons ruling in the world? I struggle with this a lot. Why is it that there's things evil still going on in the world today? Well, you see, it says in the Bible, not of the world. Listen to that again. Believers are in the world, but not of the world. See, I live in the world every day. The day I'm in here. I was up this morning. Yesterday, I was in the world. I'll be in the world as long as I'm living physically. But I am not of the world. And that's the difference. Satan's forces still remain, you know, and we need to tell partly that as Christians today. We need to share that good news to many people that are still in the wrong kingdom. See, there's two kingdoms. And that was a mistake that a lot of the early Christians, or not early Christians, but early people that saw Jesus and heard Jesus misinterpreted. They thought he was going to have an earthly kingdom like all the other kings. You know the song we sang this morning, I thought about the words, "Oh, hail King Jesus." How when a king comes in, he's victorious, he's won the battle, how they praise him, how they shout. And that's the way we are, because King Jesus has overcome the battles of Satan. He's won the victory. And that's why that song just said so much to me this morning when we sang it again. I didn't think about it the other night when we were practicing it, even when I was doing my sermon. But this is the part that I think that's so important, that there are still so many people today that are living, that are still of the world, that we need to share as Christians today that they're in the wrong kingdom. They need to be in the kingdom of God. We need to tell them the good news. They don't have to be ruled by the kingdom of darkness, demons, diseases, and the devil. Because Jesus has overcome all that, all of that. You know, in Ephesians, the first chapter, and I'm going to share, I didn't put that down as a scripture, but I wanted to share a couple things here from you. First chapter, the 17th verse, it says, "That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of understanding," being the 18th verse, "being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope and his calling, and what the riches of his glory and his inheritance of the saints are." You know, he's talking about here the light of God. John, in his gospel, speaks of Jesus as being the light. And the light of God that shines in our hearts. This is where we need Jesus Christ. This is where he needs to be in us. When we know that truth, as John the 8th chapter says in verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We all know where sickness comes from. Sickness doesn't come from heaven, does it? Why can't it come from heaven? Why can't it come from heaven? There's no sickness in heaven, right? So it can't come from heaven. Where does it come from then? It comes from the devil. We've all been sick. We're all going to be sick if we hadn't been sick. Some of us are sicker than others. Some of us have different diseases. Some of us have different problems. But we know it didn't come from heaven. It came from the devil and his demons. You know, God is not the author of sickness. In James, the first chapter, this verse here is one that I looked up. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of the lights, with whom no variableness, neither shadows of turning." Whereas James says that only good things come from heaven, not bad things. One of my weaknesses, and I have a lot of them, and Billy's here today to amen this, because I didn't think she'd be here, but that's okay, she can amen it. You know, is trying to avoid any confrontation with the devil. Wouldn't you agree I'll do that? I don't like to talk about bad things. I don't like to face the music, as they say. And I thought about, why am I that way when I was doing this sermon? I was thinking about these things. Why am I that way? Maybe I have not believed myself that Jesus Christ has conquered the devil and that he has done what he said he's going to do. You know, I'm trying to get a little bit better at it. I've tried to grow more spiritually, and I've tried to see how I can overcome the devil and the demons. But I still struggle. But I have to remember the last verse I read in verse 4 of 1 John 4, that I have the greater one in me. I have the greater one in me. On in Ephesians, the same chapter that I was reading a moment ago, down near the end, he says this, which was wrought, this is verse 20, in Christ, which was raised, when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand in the heavenly places. That's where Jesus is right now. He's at the right hand of God. That's where he's at right now. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. God told Jesus, and God said, Jesus said he will be raised and he will be placed above. He says, every knee shall bow to him. He's above everything. This is the thing I like. Verse 22. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, what does it mean, under his feet? It means that Jesus can crush out anything, anytime he wants to. And Jesus said, ask in my name, and I will do it. Ask and believe in my name, I will do it. You see, everything is under his feet. Even the church is under his feet. And we are actually today, in verse 23, it says, he defines what the church is. He says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know that song, All in All? The church is all in all. The church is representation of Christ's body. The body of the church is one of our talks in Emmaus. So it's up to us as Christians and as members of this church to share with those that are struggling with the fact that God has conquered all the evil in this world. Sure, crisis and conflict will come, as sure as I'm standing here. The devil will see to it. The devil's going to make sure, because he's the god of this world. See, the devil is the god of this world. That's why Jesus said, do not lay up treasures in this world, because they're going to be destroyed. They're going to rot away. We've been cleaning out some barns and stuff around the house. I don't really call them treasures, but we stuck them in the barn anyway. And some of them were just like the worm we put them in there. Except one thing, a lot of spider webs and dust and everything on. And they've been in there for 14 years, hadn't they, Billy? Something like that. Some of them, more than that. You know, and I thought about that. That's the way my nature is to put things back that keeps it. One day I'll need this, rather than maybe giving it away or sharing it with somebody. And I just got really thinking about that, you know, that's right opposite of what Jesus said to do. He says, don't lay up those treasures that moth and things will destroy. We need, and I'm guilty, and I'm preaching to myself this morning, that I need to believe what I said in verse 4. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. Jesus Christ is greater than that devil. What kind of problems we have? We should enter every battle and every conflict with the consciousness that Satan is a defeated foe and that we are victorious. So whatever you face, go into it with that attitude. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for this time. I thank you for those that have come out this morning, dear Heavenly Father, and shared in the worship. I thank you for your Spirit that has spoken
through me these words, and I pray that not only I, but others can believe that greater is He that is in me than is in this world. That the devil has no chance. That if we can face the devil, and he'll see us coming, he'll say, well, I know I'm in trouble now because he's got Jesus. And he's got Jesus, I can't win. And that's what we need. We need Jesus. A good friend of mine is passed on and with you now, Lord. That was his favorite song. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. And as Vicki shared with the young children this morning, dear Heavenly Father, Jesus in heaven and how he ministered to the little boy and how we're going to be able to see and talk with him and be with our Heavenly Father just as he is one day. Help us to continue to remember that he is in us and that we have no fear of this world that's around about us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let us join now in our closing hymn. Is hymn number, let's see if I can find it here. Hymn number 348, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. I sing a lot of Jesus hymns today, as you notice.